That's right, folks. It's another episode of the Rise Ball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. Today, we're going to be breaking down the five most underrated moves so far in free agency that's going to impact your fantasy team. Today's episode is going to feature a little sleeper quarterbacks, some running backs, some other key players that are going to really impact you that you don't want to overlook once draft season comes along. Before we do, of course, you know the drill. Follow us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. And of course, jump over to Razzball.com. We're doing football, baseball, hockey, and basketball. We have great content from great writers all off season long. And baseball is right around the corner. So make sure you jump over to Razzball.com. But today's show, most underrated free agent signings starting right now on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. And now, someone who isn't underrated, she's perfectly underrated because we love her and we have her on constantly. It's Gladys Louise Tyler. You can follow her at Gladys L. Tyler on Twitter. What's going on, Gladys?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm ready. Yo, so
always you are.
Oh, I know, right? Gladys gets on off screen. I'm like, Gladys, what's going on? I'm all in. She's like, this guy's a psychopath. So we're excited to talk. So I called it audible. We were doing a lot of the free agent recaps by division. I was like, you know what? Let's spice it up. Let's get some top fives in here. Let's talk about some underrated free agent signings. And I got to tell you, Gladys, you came out swinging. And honestly, when I tell you, the first one we're going to go about today, we have five of our key ones. I'll admit, so I gave you three. I got two to be making a nice top five. I'll give you my honorable mention. And okay. I feel dirty about this one. But I have a soft spot for him. It's Sam Darnold signing with the 49ers. Okay? So Geno kind of went through the same path, right? Geno went to the Jets, and the offensive talent around him was terrible. The coaching staffs were terrible. And then it took a decade for this guy to finally find his niche. He got good receivers, a good scheme. Boom, he explodes. Sam Darnold. By the way, if you look at Sam Darnold, he had four different head coaches in five seasons. He had four different play callers in five seasons. Do you want to know who? Glass, I know you know this. You got to know this. Who was the one coach who coached with him for two seasons? Do you know who it was?
No.
Adam Gase.
Yeah,
you
that's why.
You cannot have a worst start to your career when it comes to that level of lack of continuity in Adam Gase. And then you look at his skill. I'm telling you, him going to Kyle Shanahan just saved his career. I'm excited. But that's my honorable mention. However, number five might be my favorite. You have a hot take. By the way, this is not just an underrated free agent. So it's a bold take, hot take, because at number five, you have Andy Dalton going to Carolina Panthers. And I know you have an interesting take on this. So why is Andy Dalton number five on your underrated list?
Because it's a caveat. It depends on who Carolina Panthers draft as number one. I think they're going to draft Anthony Richardson. I think the reason that they have Andy Dalton is because they're drafting Richardson. And that gives him a year with Frank Reich, and Andy Dalton can play or at least six games, half the season, seven games, half the season. And it gives Richardson time to acclimate himself to the pro level. If that comes to fruition and it's not like Stroud or Young, someone who's going to step in right away, then I think Dalton is going to do what he did in New Orleans when he got there. And that's be a serviceable. He'll be a serviceable. If you're playing in a two quarterback league or even maybe best ball, he is the man that you want to pick up later in the draft. No one else is going to go after him.
So I think from my perspective with Andy Dalton is that it's a safety net, right? Like you just brought up, like, of course we want the rookie to start. Everybody wants the rookie to start.
I don't want the rookie to start.
Hey, well, you know what, Gladys? I live in a more of an exciting world right now, right? I want the rookie to start, all right? But I think when you look at last season, this is a great point with the Saints. Very, very reasonable. Alvin Kamara, RB16. Chris Olave, wide receiver 24. Juwan Johnson, tight end 14. All three of those guys were fantasy relevant. So from a fantasy standpoint, forget about just Dalton. At least we know that he could support. Listen, Adam Thielen potentially could be his guy, or Marshall. They also signed Hayden Hurst, and you know they also have Miles Sanders there. So there's a little bit. There's some cooking down there a little bit. They still need a young alpha number one. But I do think that Andy Dalton, if he does have to start the first half of the season, at least I think you might get a discount on Carolina Panthers because Miles Sanders will be faded and everybody else will fade, you know, Hayden Hurst and those guys. And Andy Dalton has proven he can support, you know, 2-3 fantasy viable players in the offense. So I agree with this one. I like that one too. Let's jump down.
Adam Thielen said the only reason he signed with Carolina was because Andy Dalton was there.
There's not enough therapy for me to unpack what you just said there, because I don't even know why. But you know what? As a fellow ginger, and I brought this up last year, I love it. You know, Andy, we love you, Adam Thielen. Thank you for your support of the gingers. We love every second of it. All right. At number four, it's got to be Samaje Perine for the Denver Broncos. And so a lot of this stems from the fact that Javonte Williams is coming off a very serious injury. And so there's been reports early on in the offseason that, you know, Javonte might not start the year at 100%, or he might be on the PUP list to start the season. So we're probably going to start seeing, like, Samaje Perine last year when Joe Mixon missed time really was an absolute stud because he's good in the passing game. He's trusted in pass pro, and he's good in the pass game. Now, historically, the new coach, Sean Payton, has been able to support two fantasy viable backs in the same season. We saw it with Alvin Kamara's rookie season in 2017 when him and Mark Ingram, that's like obviously the craziest upside version. But even if Javonte does come back, there is a scenario where he's going to be eased back in. And or, by the way, there's a very slim chance that Sean Payton maybe doesn't like Javonte as much as the previous coaching staff. So now they bring in Samaje Perine. Does he become more of a 1B? There is scenarios where that can happen. Now, granted, I'm a Javonte truther. I think he's going to be fine. I think they're going to love his talent. But anyway, the only caveat to all this, though, is there's a lot of target competition. There's a lot of rumors right now that Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton are on the block. But there's a very likely scenario where they go into this season with Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, Tim Patrick, and Greg Dulcich. That's a very strong receiving core in this offense. So there might not be enough of volume in the passing game to make up for him being a 1B as a runner. So there is a caveat there, but I think Samaje Perine is someone to watch, because if we start hearing reports that Javonte won't be ready week one, his ADP is going to skyrocket. So if you're drafting early, you might want to just take a flyer on him late, because he might be a great RB2 to start the season. Thoughts about Samaje Perine?
I actually like Samaje Perine. I would have probably put him higher on the unlisted. The two offensive tackles that they have brought in, Powers and McGlinchey, are both run blockers. Their pass blocking isn't all that great. I think that, at least early on, Peyton is going to go for a high run game, a high volume run game, and I don't think Javonte is going to be ready for the first half of the season. The scuttlebutt out here in Denver is that he isn't progressing as quickly as they would have liked, and then he will most likely be sitting out for the first half. So I love the Samaje Perine pick. I think that I would draft him early. Rumor is that that Cincinnati wanted him to stay. They were offering him as much as Denver was, and he wanted to leave. So Peyton must have thrown him some really, really good, hey, you're going to be playing a lot out here in Denver. And he has shown he's averaged, 4-plus yards per carry in the last two seasons. He's like 82 targets for his whole season, for his career. I think he'll be okay, because we know from last year that Russell Wilson isn't really chucking the ball down the field that much. So the short passing game is Samaje Perine.
So let's jump down to number three, the Jacoby. Yes. Listen, at this point, we're all about the underrated quarterback signings right now. Jacoby, where's the beef, Brissett? Signs in Washington, by the way, which I think we all could agree. I like what he did last year for the Browns. He was able to keep that team afloat, and he actually outperformed Deshaun Watson. Yes. We can pretend all day that obviously Watson, we have to give him a little bit of a pass for his on-field play. He didn't play for a year. But anyway, now he signs with Washington, which could be one of the most underrated. He could have walked into another starting opportunity here, because they don't have a high pick to get a guy. They let Taylor Heineke and Carson Wentz walk. So what's your thoughts about Jacoby Brissett and why he's on this list for you?
Jacoby Brissett will have Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry, Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel to throw the ball to. Brissett had a 3.1% turnover-worthy play rate. these guys are reliable receivers. And I think that, like you said, there really is no competition for Brissett right now to start. And I like any quarterback that doesn't have competition to start and has the reliable receivers in his wake, plus a pretty good run game. I think Washington as a whole is going to be underrated during this fantasy season, and I'm in for it. I am there for it the whole time. I like Mr. Brissett to actually probably be in the top 15 quarterbacks at the end of the fantasy season.
So last year in Cleveland, just in the games he played, Nick Chubb was the RB4 over that span. Amari Cooper was the wide receiver 8. Donovan Peoples-Jones was the wide receiver 42. And David Njoku was the tight end 8. That's a lot of pieces that were fantasy relevant with a guy who isn't considered as a high-level starter in fantasy circles. So this is another scenario where if Jacoby Brissett goes in as the unquestioned starter. Now, listen, Eric Bieniemy, this is his time, man. Like, you got to prove yourself. Was it Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, or did you really have a hand in that offense? This is a big opportunity for him to prove himself. This is going to be his offense. And if he brings in Jacoby Brissett and Jacoby is the guy, you got to like the odds of him having an innovative offense with Jacoby Brissett. He's got Jahan, like you brought up, Dotson, McLaurin, Lance, Logan Thomas. They got Curtis Samuel. They have a lot of – this is a very underrated skill position group. So there's probably going to be – this is another team where Terry McLaurin and Jet Dotson are going to be bumped down a spot or two, a round or two, because of their quarterback, and that's going to offer value in fantasy leagues. Let's jump down to the number two. It's Rashad Penny going to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, okay. I like to sound smart. Let's just go with that. You know, I like to have the numbers. I like to have philosophy. I like to have facts to prove my thoughts and my takes. This one is just like, I'm like a young, I feel like I'm a young kid again. And I'm looking at the girl I like in high school, and I'm like admiring her when I see Rashad Penny on the Eagles. So Rashad Penny averages 5.7 yards per attempt in his career, okay? And now he's going to the Eagles, who have the number one offensive line in football, okay? There should be an analysis to this, right? But sometimes 2 plus 2 equals 4. And in this case, it equals $15 million because I'm so excited. Because Penny is going to be – they have Kenny Gainwell. There's already talks about them potentially looking at a top running back in the class. And, of course, if they bring in a day one running back or day two running back, this will probably change. But Penny was a former first-round pick. This guy, when he's on the field – this is – okay, let's just do it. I got some numbers for you. Okay, this is Rashad Penny's last 6 or 7 weeks of 2021, okay? 16 for 137 and 2, 11 for 39, 17 for 135 and 1, 25, 170, and 2, 23, 190, and 1. Okay? This guy on the Seattle Seahawks, who, by the way, don't even have an offensive line. So now you put him behind that Eagles offensive line. I just like, man, this could be huge. This could be like complete eruption. Thoughts about Penny?
Okay, so I get the whole looking at the girl analogy. It's like, you're looking at Colin Farrell and you're not seeing the whole alcoholic thing behind it.
Oh, you're saying there's some okay. So this is all just looks. This is very it's all looks.
Penny's only in the beginning since 2019. He's played 28 of 65 games.
I know.
I get that he's really good when he's on the field, but he just what last year was a broken fibula and a high ankle sprain. So he's coming back from a pretty disastrous injury with already an injury. I don't trust that he's going to be on the field the whole time. Now,
1,000%. I agree with 1,000%.
Hold him, they have Gainwell, they have Boston Scott, they might pick up somebody else. He could be in a rotation, and that means that he's probably a best ball savant. Yeah, like when he's out there, he's going to be great. He's going to average that 5.7 yards per carry, and he's going to run through him. But you got to count on him being out there. And that's my only, that is my only thing with Penny, that he, his record so far doesn't provide confidence that he will be able to play out a full season.
So I think that's going to, my hope is, listen, if Penny is drafted where he was last year and or where Miles Sanders, they were drafted pretty close together, right around that seventh, eighth round range. It's all upside to me. Like at that point, if he plays four games and gets hurt and he's done for the year, I am not going to lose my fantasy league by taking a shot on Rashad Penny in the eighth round. However, if that guy stays healthy, you probably just won your fantasy league. Like that guy is going to be epic. But I do agree. It's shit. Now, granted, if people start getting a little excited and we find out that Rashad Penny, and figuratively speaking, has this weird alcohol problem, we don't fantasy terms. Like, and he starts creeping into the fifth round, then I'll say, okay, I'm out. Like, I'm out, and I'm out. I liked him in high school, but now he's in college. He's drinking with his buddies all the time. I don't want anything to do with him. But no, if he starts creeping into that fifth round range, he starts being like that dead zone RB, I'll probably be out. But man, when I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, I just feel like I'm just if he's in the eighth round, I'm taking swings all day. Let's get to number one, the fancy one. Honestly, DJ Moore, Gladys, tell the people why, which is why this guy in Chicago is going to be is underrated and why you love him as our number one today.
Okay, so first, the negatives. Chicago last season only attempted, they were last in pass attempts, right? They only attempted 22.2 pass attempts per game. However, Justin Fields led the way with a 66.7% completion percentage on intermediate throws, 10 to 19 yards, and was 13th in accuracy. DJ Moore, by the way, from 2019 to 2022, had 172 intermediate targets, second most in the league. If Fields is going to be throwing the ball, he's going to throw it to DJ Moore. And if, like, DJ Moore is getting, 22, if he's getting, like, 17 of those targets, I'm on board. I'm on board with someone who has a 13% accuracy. I'll take it. I will take it all day, every day. I don't care.
Let's take a little trip down memory lane. Let's do this right now.
Love that.
So I love it. Now I'm over my Rashad Penny note, like hot, weird take thing. I'm going to give you some numbers here and I like it. I'm back to normal.
All right. So
there's elite running quarterbacks in the NFL. And over the last few years, there's been three scenarios where an elite running quarterback got a elite number one wide receiver. Okay. Josh Allen in 2019 headed in 2020 when they got Diggs. Kyler Murray with DeAndre Hopkins the same season, and Jalen Hurts with A.J. Brown. So I looked at what was their fantasy points per game the year before and after they got that elite number one, okay? Now, DJ Moore, we know, is a rock star. His quarterbacks, P.J. Walker, Sam Darnold, who, you know, I said at the beginning of the show, I'm excited for his future, but his past is woof. Baker Mayfield, Kyle Allen, like, it's Taylor Heineke, like, it's just not fun. So DJ Moore, we could pretend all day that, you know, Justin Fields isn't a great quarterback, which you just told the numbers about his intermediate passing is all BS. And I looked at this and I wanted to understand, okay, when you have an elite running quarterback who now has an elite number one, how do they perform the next season? So Jalen Hurts in 2021 to 2022, he averaged 24 points per game in 2021. That jumps to 28.5 last season. That season, A.J. Brown finished as the wide receiver 5 in PPR. Kyler Murray, 2019, averaged 21.2 points per game. The next season after they got Hopkins, that jumps to 28.2. Hopkins finished that season as the wide receiver 4. Josh Allen, 2019, averaged 21.2 PPR, points per game. That jumped in 2020 to 29.1, okay? So anywhere from 4 to 7 point jumps for these guys. And the receivers all finished in the top 5 at their position that year. Now, everyone's going to say, well, Justin Fields, this isn't as good as those guys. Well, Justin Fields last season averaged 22.8 points per game. Okay, he is ready. He is going to be a lock and loaded top 3 quarterback, and I will take him as my QB1 overall in fantasy. I don't care. I think he's going to be epic. And DJ Moore is going to have his best season with Justin Fields. I absolutely love it, and I'm excited. Gladys, any final thoughts about any of the players we covered or any honorable mentions you want to mention before we go?
My honorable mention is kind of a cheat code. The re-signing of Evan Engram in Jacksonville, I think that whole team, again, I think is – they're not – I don't think they're going to sneak in, but there's not one player on that team right now that I would not consider drafting in the first five rounds. Not one. Not one of the perfect players. Woo. Calvin Ridley, all day. All day.
If Trevor Lawrence fulfills his prophecy and becomes the man he's supposed to be, does he have the weapons to do it?
Yes, he does.
He has a coach.
And the coach.
So, yeah. I mean, wheels up on Jacksonville. That AFC is going to be a lot of fun for years to come. I'll say that. All right, that's all we got for today. Once again, this was a Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. I want to thank Gladys L. Tyler. You can follow her at Gladys L. Tyler. L. Tyler on Twitter. I got a tongue twister right there. Gladys L. Tyler on Twitter. But Gladys, before we go, tell the people where they can find your content, what's upcoming, and what do you got on the deck.
Okay, so I'm seriously behind, but tonight I will be sending in, so it probably won't get sent in until Wednesday, the AFC North defensive coordinators and how it's going to help your IDP, the AFC West defensive coordinators and how it's going to help your IDP. I do have an article out now from Rotoballer on the first round of mock draft where, yes, Anthony Richardson did go number one. You're welcome. And Carolina. And like I said, come on to Razzball and see my defensive breakdowns, because this one I'm having a really hard time with. Jim Schwartz is just like befuddling me. So that's why it's taking so long. My apologies. I'm befuddled by him.
It's March, folks. Okay, that's why we're befuddled about Jim Schwartz, folks. But that's okay. We have 6 months to figure out the befuddlement of Jim Schwartz. All right, make sure you follow us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok, and of course, jump over to Razzball.com and check out all the great articles written by all our great writers, including Gladys. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby Lamarco. You can follow me at Bobby Lamarco on Twitter. We are out of here, folks.